Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. California's governor has extended the closure of bars and indoor dining statewide to help stop the spread of the coronavirus.
Governor Gavin Newsom made the announcement at his daily briefing.
We're moving back into a modification mode of our original stay-at-home order, but doing so utilizing what commonly referred to as a dimmer switch, not an on and off switch.
Some of those places to be dimmed for now?
Restaurants, wineries, tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment centers, zoos and museums, card rooms, and the shuttering of all bars.
Hospitalizations in the past 2 weeks have increased 28%. I'm Shelley Antler.
The order also includes gyms, churches, and hair salons. Wall Street didn't like the news, with stock indexes suddenly dropping. Another federal judge has struck down a fetal heartbeat law, this time in Georgia. Judge Steve Jones, an appointee of President Obama, permanently struck down House Bill 481, passed by the Georgia legislature and signed by the governor. The measure sought to ban abortions once a detectable human heartbeat was present, with some limited exceptions. Cardiac activity can be detected by ultrasound as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy. Jones said the law violated the 14th Amendment. A federal judge is demanding more information about President Trump's decision to commute the prison sentence of longtime ally Roger Stone. President Trump says he has some issues with Judge Amy Berman Jackson, who presided over Stone's trial.
I won't talk about the judge. Why would I ever talk about a judge? But this was a judge that gave, I believe, solitary confinement to Paul Manafort. Al Capone didn't have solitary confinement.
Trump commuted Stone's 40-month prison sentence on Friday evening, just days before he was to report to prison. On Wall Street, the Dow by 10 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In small business, competition can be brutal. Over 90% of your potential customers read online reviews before buying. If your company's online reputation doesn't reflect how your customers feel about your business, then your competitor is getting the sale. If you're going to win the battle, you have to manage your company's online reputation. Reviews911.net wants to offer you a free trial of our online reviews management platform that you can have up and running in about 5 minutes. You'll learn how to replace bad reviews with good ones and how current reviews can make you show up at the top of local search results. Improve your customer's brand experience and get more reviews on the sites that matter most, like Google, Yelp, Facebook, and all the rest, so that new customers will find you first. Win the small business slugfest when you text WIN to 411-411. Reviews911.net. Text the word WIN to 411-411 to get your free trial today. Text WIN to 411-411. Text WIN to 411-411.
It's hot.
Yes, the heat almost sets a record at 113.
And getting hotter.
It's going to be a warm one out there today.
The heat is just too exhausting.
This year, if you're replacing your air conditioner, upgrade to a high-efficiency two-stage system.
More power when you need it. An energy-saving mode to lower that power bill.
Home Air Conditioning, locally owned and operated in the Valley for over 20 years with an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and Contractors Board.
Remember to have your air conditioner serviced before summer kicks into full force. Home Air is offering preventative maintenance for only $59.
Call Danny to schedule 702-878-8367. Preventative maintenance from Home Air Conditioning, only $59.
Call 702-878-8367 to schedule your $59 preventative maintenance or visit homeairlv.com.
That's homeairlv.com.
Home Air Conditioning Contractors License number 51994.
It's 3:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, it was hot yesterday. Not a record breaker, though. 114. That was the record for July 12, 2003. It was the hottest day since August 5th of last year. Las Vegas' low temperature yesterday morning almost set a record as well. The 94-degree low was the third time the low temperature had been that high, matching dates in July of 2016 and 2005. Clark County has opened 4 cooling stations in the valley, and the Salvation Army is opening its daytime homeless shelter on West Owens. Las Vegas Sands Palazzo Hotel Tower is no longer taking reservations during weekdays. Company officials say the property will keep most public areas open, including most restaurants, the casino, the Grand Canal Shops, and its parking garage, The change is reportedly in response to travel demand for the summer. Both the Venetian and Palazzo will take suite reservations for the weekends, with weekday reservations still available at the Venetian Hotel Tower. Well, Nevada's fund for paying unemployment claims will be out of money in less than 7 weeks. State officials say the unemployment trust fund has been depleted by about 86% since March, when the governor shut down all non-essential businesses.
KCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
As we take a look at the traffic cams right now, we're getting some slow flows on the Beltway, 215 East at Valley Verde, Interstate 15 North at Desert Inn. You'll tap the brakes there. Some shoulder activity on the right side. That is on Interstate 15 South at Russell. Kevin Wall is next.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's AM 670 KMZQ for a Monday. Good to have you with us. Did you have a great weekend? I had a phenomenal weekend. I just relaxed. I stayed indoors. It was too damn hot to do anything outside unless you had a pool. And our community pool is closed because of the coronavirus. We got a lot to talk about. We'll get to it all. Scott Hammond, state senator, will join us. Over the weekend, they put the hold on the special session because of the coronavirus. Apparently, at least one staff member, maybe more, tested positive. And so we'll get the latest on where that stands from Scott Hammond, state senator, coming up in our 4 o'clock hour. Linda Cannon will join us, vice chair of the Clark County Republican Party, will join us just after 4:30. And hopefully Jared Fisher, the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, will join us. He is traveling, so we're kind of at the mercy of the cell sites. But we'll find out. First, though, let's check in with Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And he joins us. Victor, first of all, thanks for joining us. I didn't know until early today that the legislature kind of backed off a little bit to put the brakes on. Do we know what they've done as yet? Have they fleshed out any kind of a budget?
No, not really. I mean, they basically, the first few days, they were listening to the presentations about the education and the healthcare budget. And Saturday, they talked a little bit about the Clark School District's proposal to take money from the individual schools. I don't know if you remember with the reorganization, the schools themselves got a little more control over the money.
Principals. The principals of the schools, yeah.
The principals, whether the school district, Superintendent Jara, first they did, and then they said, once they were kind of confronted with the lawmakers not being very happy with them, said, oh, actually, we really don't want to take that money. But that was what they heard Saturday. So there's not been any final decisions at this point.
Do we know yet, is there a ticking time bomb here that we're dealing with? When does the state need to know what its budget is, and you know how much in cuts the schools are going to take and various departments? Do we know at this point? Is there a ticking time bomb at all?
You know, there isn't a sense of the fact that the way the state does the fiscal year is from July to June, so they're already spending money, so it's good to, you know what your budget's going to be. But, you know, these cuts have kind of been oversold. I mean, there's all this talk about, oh, these deep, deep cuts. And, you know, basically they talked about, oh, there's a $1.2 billion hole, but through a variety of gimmicks and prepayment of taxes and money they had left over after, you know, all the reductions from last year, they're only cutting about $660 million, which is going to leave them actually spending more this year after all these supposedly deep cuts than they did just 2 years ago. So I think there's some perspective that needs to be talked about, too.
Is it fuzzy math? I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Well, yeah. I mean, the hole, it really is $1.2 billion, but the way that they're filling the hole is not $1.2 billion in cuts. I mean, they're stopping spending on some capital improvement projects. They're taking money that was going to go to the road fund, and they're putting it back in the general fund. Mining's paying a bunch of taxes. They're sweeping money from all the accounts. So, I mean, really, what this should tell people is that when next year comes and they're doing a two-year budget, I mean, they're actually at an unsustainable spending level even through the end of this fiscal year. So, you know, expect basically us to repeat all this come next January.
Well, so in other words, what's going to happen is we're going to get to next fiscal year, 2022, and which, by the way, will be an election year and all of that. But we're going to get to a point where the cuts are going to be more draconian next year, next fiscal year. Am I right?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what they're setting up. Basically, they're you know, pulling out all the couch cushions and looking for all the change for this year to keep spending at what's basically an unsustainably high level. And the reason this is not because Nevada has been, cutting for years and years and years. I mean, they've been blowing out the budget over the last 6 years. And it came back to bite them. Obviously, they couldn't have predicted the coronavirus, but the fact that they've been spending so much, you know, you just can't keep these level of increases going forever.
I remember the governor a year or so ago making promises to the teachers, and you're going to get this raise and you're going to get that raise. Is he having to pull back on any or all of those?
Well, the biggest pullback is that he had talked about wanting a new funding formula, which would basically be a way to send school districts extra money for kids who live in poverty or English language learners, and he had dedicated some funding to that, I want to say $70 to $80 million, and that money is getting cut. But this isn't the basic support money that the school districts get. This isn't even class size reduction money. So they're keeping all of the basic spending in place, but the problem is for the school district is, so the state money is staying in place, but the school district has agreed to these contracts which contain these raises that, you know, they weren't really able to afford last year. You remember last year, you know, there's this talk about the teacher strike, and basically to end that, the district said, well, times are good, our investments are doing good, we'll save a little money somewhere, and we'll give you this raise. Well, now times aren't doing good, and they're still on the hook for the raise. That's the biggest problem.
And by the way, has anybody brought up, now that you've essentially eviscerated essentially an entire bar industry across the state for at least in seven counties for at least a while, maybe 2 weeks, maybe beyond July 24th, we don't know, that they're going to be even more jobs lost, are there not? And that means less revenue to the state.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw the news, California basically enacted a pretty severe re-shutdown today, and you know, if Nevada does that, if they dry up the casinos, I mean, you're basically going to double the budget deficit, and you're not going to have any of the gimmicks left to fill it. And the bar shutdown is interesting. I mean, I think, you know, the case to be made for it is, you know, look, this is the most likely place where you're going to spread it, and it's not a full shutdown of the economy. You're right; it's not restaurants. You can still buy alcohol at restaurants. It's not the casinos. I think what Governor Sisolak is realizing, and I'm sure he realizes, is that, look, if we shut down the casinos, I mean, the special session that's happening now is going to feel like a picnic compared to what would happen if those casinos were shut down for another month.
Well, for instance, I went to Ichabod's last night for breakfast, believe it or not, and had a nice meal, and you know, and there were other booths and tables, and people were able to have a cocktail, to have their dinner, and that's all well and good, but that's not the same as having those machines, those 15 machines going. I mean, that's a lot, yep, a lot of money that's being lost. Now the question is, do we know for sure that he is going to look at these seven counties that have been impacted? Do we have any assurance that some, maybe all of those seven counties will be restored sometime around July 24th? Do we know that yet?
Oh, no, we don't know that yet. And I mean, he certainly made no promises that they'll be restored. Basically, it's just, you know, you'll be shut down for at least this long, and we'll see what the numbers look like. And, you know, I mean, in his defense, the most defensible thing about this is Sunrise Hospital stopped some elective procedures. And the only reason, you know, to justify a shutdown is if the hospitals are nearing capacity. And the hospital numbers are up. I mean, they certainly are up. I don't think, you know, we're anywhere near capacity. But, you know, the virus does change quickly. And I think there's reason to be concerned with that.
I'm curious how concerned you are, and I know you're a numbers cruncher, maybe not of all of these coronavirus numbers, but I know that you take a look at these numbers on a fairly regular basis. Are we getting to a serious point?
You know, it's not serious. I don't think what's happening right now is serious. I think the concern is that, you know, look, if cases double in the next week and then they double after that, then we're in trouble. And, you know, you can't just, you know, the actions you take now are what's going to change things in 2 weeks. You can't just, you know, change everything tomorrow. But, you know, I mean, part of it was expected. I mean, it was expected that cases would go up as the reopening happened. Although it's interesting because, you know, Colorado's reopened and they haven't seemed to have had this spike. California, you know, was much slower on the reopening and their cases have been increasing pretty dramatically. You know, it almost makes you wonder if it's something to do with the air conditioning. You know, and it's just so hot here. It's hot in Arizona. It's hot in Texas and Florida. If that's really driving it more than any actual policy thing that people are doing.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've been trying to think this thing through, and I hadn't even considered that there may be something in the ventilating the HVAC system that is triggering this thing. And we don't even know it. And more people are being driven inside, not just by the orders of the governor, but by the fact that it's 112 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be outside right now unless you're in the water. I mean, it's just miserable. And it's miserable throughout the Southwest. I mean, throughout the South, it's just very hot. So, you know, I think there's just so much we don't know about the virus. I mean, obviously, you know, in New York, they burn through. the virus just rampaged, and they actually never exceeded their hospital capacity there, which makes me feel, you know, really good about Nevada. No matter kind of how bad it gets, I don't think it's going to get, you know, like what happened in New York and their hospital capacity held. So that should be encouraging, but we just don't know what's going to happen in the next week.
More coming up with Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us. Brand-new week, brand-new challenges. We're on top of it all right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
You can listen to your radio again on the weekend. On Sunday, you can enjoy The Jesus Christ Show, Gun Talk, Front Lines of Freedom, and Hillary Kramer's Millionaire Maker. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
It's amazing how time flies. Hey, Kevin Wall here, your host on Live and Local Now and the owner of Battle Born Radio Corp. It was just over 3 years ago that I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I knew my small business would have to move warp speed into this new digital era. That's when I called Sofa King Creative Group. Locally owned and operated, Sofa King Creative Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of clients. Their marketing team provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design project, an engaging mobile-friendly website, What I like best about Sofa King Creative Group, they showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. Let the pros at Sofa King Creative Group help you and your small business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Or check them out at SofaKingCreativeGroup.com. That's SofaKingCreativeGroup.com.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than three decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Psychery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Very few vehicles can do more than the 2020 Land Rover Discovery Sport. From conquering the world's urban to not-so-urban obstacles, no other vehicle in its class is more capable than the Discovery Sport. And with 0% interest financing currently available for up to 72 months on approved credit, now is the right time to own yours. Come see for yourself today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and Local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMCQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour brought to you by the SKC Group. Let the SKC Group show you and your business how an increased web presence can actually increase your bottom line. Call the SKC Group. Do it right now. Pick up the phone and call them, 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. More and more people are discovering the SKC Group, and they are amazing. Joining us, of course, Victor Jakes, our regular Monday kickoff. No better guy to kick off the show with. Your latest column talks about signature verification. One of the things that they're going to be doing, we think, in this this special session thing, is the possibility of a all mail-in ballot for the November election. And you personally have done some first-person reporting, and essentially what you show is that the signature verification is essentially, I think, as you put it, a joke. Explain what you did. I mean, this is great journalism.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, with the all-mail elections happening this year, and then with, you know, Clark County mailing out ballots to inactive voters, which are voters who have moved from the address where they were registered to vote, not voters who hadn't voted the last election. You know, I was curious to see if signature verification was really effective, because the way election officials talk about it, it's almost like matching someone's fingerprint, right? It's unique to everybody, and we can tell if it's unique or not. And so I tested that, and the way I did it is I signed my ballot with just a capital V, a straight line, a capital J, and a straight line, just a print version, not a signature. And then so I had some other folks print their name instead of doing cursive. I had one other person. I signed their name with my, you know, how I would sign it, and then they copied my signature, so it didn't look. They still signed their own ballot. No laws were broken.
Now, wait a minute, Gary. It sounds like you're skirting very close to the line.
Yeah, I looked this up. There's no requirements on how you sign. Your signature is your signature, so you can sign it however you want. And what I wanted to test is, you know, look, if I'm just random dishonest person or dishonest political operative and I come across ballots or I gather ballots, am I able to vote those ballots and have those ballots go through? And if any of those three things are getting through, you do not have a secure system. So the county did catch mine, which again was just the print first letter of my name in a straight line, which they better have caught, because that was like the baseline. Like if you don't catch this one, you're not doing anything. But the people who printed their name, their ballots all went through. The person whose signature did not match the signature on file, that went through. And so that should concern everyone in Nevada if there is an all-mail election coming up. Because what that would mean is that if you can get your hands on a ballot, you can vote that ballot and have it counted, even if, you know, you're faking the signature.
So in a nutshell, what did you find? You found that they're not catching
signatures that don't match. Obvious signatures that don't match. That's the bottom line, is that, you know, these were signatures that didn't look like the signature that was on file, because it was printed or because it was, you know, a copy of someone else. Someone else would sign their name, and they didn't. Those ballots went through, and basically, signature verification is a joke. It's not preventing people from committing fraud. Now, this doesn't mean that fraud happened. It was a primary election. I'd be very surprised if fraud did happen just because of that. But it wasn't because there weren't opportunities to commit fraud, because there certainly were.
I'm curious, have you run this past Barb Zagafsky, the Secretary of State?
I haven't. No, I didn't. I didn't talk to their office about it before running the piece. But, you know, Wayne Thorley, who's the Deputy Secretary of State, you know, he talked up signature verification. The Clark County Register's office talked up signature verification. And so this is a big concern. And if you're going to go to an all-mail election, you've got to figure that out, because that is the only line of defense against, you know, someone just filling out someone else's ballot and voting it for them.
Well, let me, Victor, just ask you then, what if they come back and they say, well, that's just anecdotal evidence?
It is anecdotal evidence, but I mean, the thing that's concerning is that I was able to do it so easily. I mean, that should make you more concerned, right? Like, I'm not a professional. I don't get paid to, you know, to win people elections, you know. So if I'm able to do it, then someone who's a pro at it, who's actually had experience, they're going to be able to do it even better. And, you know, that is very concerning.
Victor Jenks joining us, the Las Vegas Review-Journal, three-time-a-week columnist. Maybe, I don't know, depending on the next knock on the door, he may be incarcerated. We don't know. For the sake of him and his family, we hope we don't. I am just curious, though. Did you think about that? Did you have to look something up in order to be able to do this exercise, which I think is great, and it shows at least anecdotal evidence that stuff's getting through?
Yeah, I did think about that. I mean, obviously, you know, there's just so little curiosity among election officials to figure out if the system is secure or not. And I think that's really too bad. I think there should be efforts by the election officials to hire someone, not to submit fraudulent votes, but to say, let's test the system. Let's be the ones who test the system and figure out if the system's working so that after the election we can go back and say, yes, the system is working. So, yes, I wanted to be very careful that, you know, everyone signed their own ballot, that it was not, you know, it was not something where